Hello, friends, and welcome to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in Bellevue, Washington, just outside beautiful Seattle, Washington in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can make this earth a much better place. During the first hour, we've interviewed a fascinating friend of mine named Joe St. Clair. He's the director of the Laszlo Institute, named after one of the world's most famous scientists, Dr. Professor Irvin Laszlo of Italy. Joe's a fascinating fellow, and I hope you enjoyed his interview during the first hour. During the second hour, I'll be interviewing another incredibly interesting gentleman named Dr. Matthew Johnson. He is a licensed clinical psychologist and a Sasquatch contactee and researcher. He lives down in the Medford in the southern Oregon area, and he's been in contact with Sasquatch for years and now is writing a book on Messages for Humanity from the Sasquatch, which is an advanced race that's been on the planet for hundreds of thousands of years. He'll be talking, and during this hour, he'll be talking about his experiences with the Sasquatch and their messages for humanity. And during this interview, he sent me five audio clips, and I'll be playing these actual audio clips of Sasquatch talking to him and making language. His interview should be really out of this world. His website, if you need more information about Dr. Johnson, is www.axmedford.com. That's axmedford.com. With that, I'd like to welcome Dr. Johnson to the program. Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, Ted. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. First off, before we get into the interview, you'll be having a presentation, isn't that right, on September 17th, I think, in Yale?
Yes.
Okay, could you tell me?
Saturday, September 17th at 6 p.m.
Okay, wonderful. And that's also a special day because that day as well, I'm sponsoring what's called a Cosmic Awareness Fair from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Washington RV Events Center at 9101 Steilacoom Road in Olympia, Washington. For more information, please see my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. And admission's free, and my event, the event that I'm sponsoring, the Cosmic Awareness Fair, ends in Olympia at 5 p.m. And then it's only a half-hour drive to Yelm, and then you can go see Dr. Johnson's wonderful presentation in Yale.
There we go. Back-to-back entertainment.
Back-to-back entertainment. And actually, because what time does your start again? 6, is that
well,
right?
6 o'clock, I believe, is when they're going to start at dinner. And then 7 o'clock is when I start speaking.
Okay. That's at the wonderful Triad Theater in Yale. And actually, you could come to the Cosmic Awareness Fair all day, get a psychic reading, see crystal and aura readers and people selling wonderful gems and crystals. And drive down to Yelm, which is a half hour away, have dinner, and listen to Dr. Johnson talk about Sasquatch. You could have a day that's truly out of this world. So anyway, Dr. Johnson, tell us a little bit about your background and how did you ever get interested in Sasquatch?
Well, my background is I grew up in Oregon, moved to Anchorage, Alaska in 1980 on a basketball scholarship, graduated with a bachelor's degree in social work, went to Rutgers for my first master's degree, and that was also in social work.
Mm-hmm.
Got my second master's degree in clinical psychology from George Fox University, my doctorate degree in clinical psychology from George Fox University in Newburgh, Oregon, just outside of Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Wrote a parenting book, spoke in 80 cities a year for over 10 years, all over the USA, Canada, and in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
The website, by the way, that you gave, ACTS Medford, is my private practice website. If they're interested in my Bigfoot website, they can go to www.TeamSquatchinUSA, all one word, TeamSquatchinUSA, no G in Squatchin, TeamSquatchinUSA.com, and then they can find out more.
Could you, as far
as my interest in Bigfoot, that didn't happen until my family had encountered one on the mountain above the Oregon Caves on July 1st, 2000.
Oh, fascinating. Now, what happened? You were all out on the beach, and you were exploring the caves, and suddenly you saw, did you see a Bigfoot there, you and your family?
The Oregon Caves are inland in the Siskiyou Mountains.
Okay.
And we had just took a tour of the caves, and then we came out and had a picnic lunch on the picnic table, and then the other part of our time there was going to be doing the 3.5-mile loop. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, we had lived in Alaska about and moved down 6 months prior to this happening. I had been a 20-year resident of Alaska, mm-hmm. so very familiar with the outdoors and wildlife. Mm-hmm. And so we started hiking that 3.5-mile loop, and we went up the right side first, got about a mile up above the caves, and we all smelled something horrific. We weren't scared, but it was as strong as a skunk, but not a skunk. And then we kept walking, and we were being paralleled by something that was kind of making a deep-based mammal guttural whoa.
Oh, really? Wow.
Whoa. While we were walking. And when we were quiet, it was quiet. When we walked, it made the noise.
Huh.
Finally, we reached a point where there was no smell, no noise, and kids were needing a break. And so they were playing with the bug on the path. And I went up the hill because I had to go to the bathroom. And while I was pulling my pants up behind a natural blind and looking down slope to see if I could see if anything was in the area, that's when I saw Bigfoot walk off the pages of myth and legend into reality. And my whole cognitive schema came crashing down.
Hmm. Fascinating. Yep. Could you describe, please, for my many listeners, what Bigfoot looked like?
Well, what I saw looked about 9 to 10 feet tall.
My goodness.
Very broad, stocky, strong, hairy, dark brown to black hair, a human-like face, flat nose, protruding brow ridge, kind of a cone shape backside of the head. And he was being curious, watching my family. I mentioned my cognitive schema come crashing down, and then my brain rebooting. Then I had protective instincts kick in, and I ran down through the brush and trees to the path and moved my family out of there. Now, because the whole thing was unexpected, unknown, I was terrified, and I'll go as far as saying traumatized, and experienced some PTSD afterwards. I didn't let my kids know what was going on. I just moved my family out of there.
Yeah, sure.
Got them up a couple hundred yards around a switchback, a little bit farther, sat them down, gave them some water, pulled my wife aside and said, "You're not going to believe what I saw." And she said, "What?" And I said, "I saw Bigfoot." And she was like, "I believe you."
Wow.
Yep.
What, was he fairly hairy, and what color hair did he have?
He had dark brown to black hair.
Okay.
He was hairy, and he was curious. But again, with my own PTSD issues and the unknown and the unexpected, I was terrified. And the problem that that created for me, and the problem that I've seen it create for a lot of other people over the years, is that they take their own fear and project it out onto the Bigfoot as if they're dangerous.
Sure.
But it's really not that they're dangerous. It's, you know, we're afraid. People are afraid of them, and so we make them out to be dangerous, but they're not.
Sure. Wow, that's incredible. Now, you've had a series of encounters since that time, and I know for many people they're so interested in this subject too. Dr. Johnson, I want to thank you again so much for coming on today. You sent me 5 different audio clips, and the first one is called A Whispering Adolescent.
Yes, but I'd like to say something before we go into that.
Oh, sure, of course.
Needless to say, my family's encounter got me interested in the Bigfoot phenomenon, so I researched it immediately. We went up on that mountain. 15 of us guys and found bedding areas, foot tracks. 3 of them walked into camp that night when we were all sleeping, and my father, a retired Oregon State Trooper, was up guarding camp and lit them up with a flashlight. I did the research for the first 10 years utilizing the old school approach, which involved theoretically believing that the Bigfoot species were descendants of Gigantopithecus, Latin for giant mountain ape. Used all the high-tech equipment, trail cams, hidden video cameras, seismic sensors, night vision equipment, thermal imaging.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get anywhere for the 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I made a switch. I transitioned over to the kooky woo-woo people who said, leave all the high-tech equipment at home and just go out and hang out with them.
Uh-huh.
And that they're not dumb giant mountain apes. They're actually forest people.
Right.
And you need to treat them respectfully as if they're a people, like mm-hmm. the North American Indians have talked about them forever.
Right.
And so I made that change,
mm-hmm.
and I started doing kind of a Dr. Jane Goodall habituation approach. And then they started coming in after about a year when they saw I was serious about my change.
Mm-hmm.
They started coming in closer and closer and closer.
Mm-hmm.
And then that ultimately led to the audio recordings that we're about to hear.
Beautiful.
And in that context, it's important to understand why and how they came in so close to where I could record them talking.
Sure. Well, undoubtedly, they saw that you were serious and you had a good heart. You meant the no harm.
Exactly.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Now, nowadays, are there certain, do you still maintain contact with them? Do you go up and visit them? Are you considered them like your friends? You can go up and talk to them? Or
I go up there once or twice a month, sometimes three times a month, sometimes
mm-hmm.
for one night only, sometimes for three or four nights.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going back up there. I was just up there for four nights last week, and I'm going back up for two nights this weekend.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, in this area, do you camp and then you just wait for them to come by and see you? How do you communicate with them? Telepathically?
Well, telepathically,
mm-hmm.
that has been going on the last few years as the relationship has progressed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not an issue of, you know, having to go out and look for them. There's a camp that I go to now that they actually led me to
mm-hmm.
Via a vision.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we show up there, they're mm-hmm. there. They're there immediately. And, you know, we just hang out in camp and they surround us and they come into camp and it's pretty cool.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, I've heard from other sources, Dr. Johnson, that they actually go in between this dimension and in other dimensions. They become invisible and then visible. Have you seen that, or how do they appear to you?
I have seen that, and that's called cloaking. However, the misinterpretation from some people is they go in and out of dimensions, and
mm-hmm.
that's not what they're doing. In reality, they exist at a higher vibrational frequency than we do,
mm-hmm.
and that takes them outside of our field of vision.
Oh, okay.
Although animals can still see them. So mm-hmm. they're there. It'd be just like having Joe Schmo in the room with you,
mm-hmm.
except he's human and he's vibrating at the same frequency, so you can see him. But if somehow Joe Schmo was able to vibrate at a higher frequency, he'd still be in the room, but you wouldn't be able to see him.
Oh.
But, you know, the dog would, the camera could pick him up because you can't fool the eye of the camera like you can the human eye.
Sure.
And the rods and cones are different in the human eye versus a canine eye or a feline eye.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why dogs and cats and other animals can see them, even though they're vibrating at that higher level.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that they're in and out of other dimensions. It's
mm-hmm.
just that they're outside of our field of vision. But they mm-hmm. can intentionally choose to slow down their vibrational frequency so we can see them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a volitional act, and they only do it when they want to, and they always do everything with intention. So if you're seeing them, it's because they did it on purpose, and they want you to see them.
Interesting, interesting. I was at James Gillian's UFO Ranch about a year ago, actually in September of last year, Dr. Johnson, and had a fascinating experience. There was a lady there, a nurse named Cassandra Dunn, she was walking through this field, and she started seeing that right in front of her, the grass started going down like something was walking right in front of her. It was invisible.
Yep.
And she took a picture of it, and it was a Sasquatch in a
exactly.
higher vibration, which
yep.
I saw the picture, and I also saw
yep.
the grass going down too. And I thought,
yep.
wow, this is amazing. This is amazing.
Exactly. So they're there. They're not in another dimension. I have touched
mm-hmm.
them
mm-hmm.
while they're cloaked
mm-hmm.
or you know, cloaking isn't even the right word. They're just vibrating at a higher frequency. They just appear to be cloaked or appear to be invisible, but they're there. We just can't see them.
Would you say?
So I have touched them in that state.
Beautiful. From your conversations with them, if I could ask a preliminary question, would you say that they're loving, kind, benevolent beings?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, and that's another problem that we have out there in Bigfoot dumbness. Again, humans tend to infer their own qualities onto other species, including dogs. You know, we just, that's what we do. And so we'll do it with God or higher power. You know, we're like this, so God must be like this. Or we're like this, so the forest people or Sasquatches must be like this. And we have good people and we have bad people, so they must have bad Squatches. It's like, no, that's not how it works. Just because we're this way doesn't mean they are.
Fascinating. Did they ever tell you how many there are? In like around Washington or different parts of the world? I mean, are they fairly prevalent around the world?
They are. And I had a 2-hour mind speak with Ankh, who's an adult or young adult male, in mid-April. And then that was followed up by a very significant event that occurred at the end of June. I was asked to wait to reveal what was said until next spring.
Okay.
So I can say some things as long as I don't give away the details, but there are a lot of them, and they've been here for a long, long time. One could even say longer than we have.
Wow. Well, I don't want you to divulge anything that they've asked you not to divulge, but it would be nice to get, you know, some of the things within your boundaries. I don't want you to violate any kind of agreements that you've made with them.
Right. And I appreciate that, and I'll say what I can say, and if I can't, I'll just let you know. It'll have to wait.
That's fine. We'll have you back on next spring after you can give more messages then.
There we go. Starting on April, May, beginning in May, I can talk.
So. Okay. All right. I'll write you down for the calendar for May then. That'd be great.
That'd be great.
Well, Dr. Johnson, I know that we have a lot of problems here on the surface of the planet, but yet many of us are light workers and we sincerely want to make this planet a better place. Have they given any messages to you to tell humanity around the world how we can make a better planet, or what advice have they given you, if you'd like to share that, if you can share it?
Well, they really promote respect and love and kindness. They have made it very clear to me, and one of the things I can say right now is that they told me that any kind individuals with a good heart and an open mind who reach out to them, they will reach back.
Oh, nice.
And it is their hope to influence humanity in a positive direction, one person at a time. So a lot of people wonder, well, how do I find Bigfoot? How do I get out there and interact with them? Well, you need to get out there, number one. You're not going to do it from behind your computer.
Right.
And then you start talking to them, you know, whether it's with your mouth or with your mind. You start reaching out to them, and they'll reach back. And by the way, that whole mind speak thing isn't any different than the fact that 85% of the world's population believes in some kind of higher power. And they all pray to, you know, someone. And when they pray, most of them pray silently with their mind. And then they listen for the still small voice of God to respond within their hearts. And I would argue that that's mind speak.
Fascinating. I was in the Cascade Mountains here about a year ago with a friend. I want to share this story briefly, Dr. Johnson. And we went hiking one day to find crystals in this beautiful area. And we went up to this ridge, and the trail wasn't marked. It wasn't very marked, well marked at all. But I noticed something. Dr. Johnson had put all these sticks indicating arrows up this path so we wouldn't get lost.
Right.
And then when we were driving up, I saw this really interesting, it was like a pyramid shape of rocks coming to a peak. And one of my friend who was with me at the time, he said, "Oh, some kids must have had some fun with that." And I told my friend, I said, I don't think there's children up here doing that.
Right, right.
And so we got at the top of this ridge, and I looked over, and I could feel their presence from this ridge looking down upon us. They were completely benevolent. And later when we left, I found out that those rock formations, or kind of a pyramidal rock formation coming to a peak, was actually a territorial mark of the Sasquatch family that we'd stumbled into. And I think what they had done is put up these sticks on the pass so we wouldn't get lost, and I thanked them for that. And then I got the message that we could come back anytime as long as we were positive, and anybody we brought with us, they were positive, and there wasn't any danger for them, of course, because there's hunters up there.
Exactly.
You never know, you know.
So. That's exactly the way they behave.
Mm-hmm.
And they've made it clear to me that I can bring people out with me, but I need to vet and screen them to make sure I'm not bringing somebody who's, you know, a real negative individual. They don't like negative people in their area. And matter of fact, they can spot an a-hole a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
And if that person comes into their home, they will chase them, intimidate them, bluff charge them, throw rocks, push over trees, and to scare them out of there, to intimidate them to leave. And you hear stories about how I was chased by Bigfoot, or they threw rocks at me. And
oh, yeah.
They're dangerous,
right.
And
right.
They're mean. And
right.
It's like, no.
Right.
If they were dangerous and mean, you'd be dead and you wouldn't be telling this story. The bottom line is they were just intimidating you to leave because they didn't like you or your attitude.
Interesting. Interesting. You have a lot of wisdom, Dr. Johnson, and I'm so happy that you're on today, on my show today. Would you like me to play the first audio now? Okay.
Yeah.
Eric, if you wouldn't mind playing, let's see, The Bigfoot Sounds Whispering Adolescent. That's the first one.
Now, before you play it, my apologies. Since I know the order and you guys have done your homework and you're an awesome team together, mm-hmm. Let me explain this to your audience so they understand the context of what they're about to hear.
Okay. Go ahead.
So several years ago, 4 years ago, uh-huh. My son and I, so he was five at the time, we were up there camping with another friend. And I record all night with a parabolic microphone dish, so I'll record 8, 10, 12 hours. Mm-hmm. And my son knew that I was recording. And he woke me up in the morning, you know, the sun was already up, and the birds were chirping, and he whispered in my ear, Daddy, I need to go potty. And I said, go ahead and go. So he unzips the tent, he goes outside. And then he comes back in and whispers in my ear, Daddy, I can't lift the water. Well, it was a 5-gallon water jug, and he couldn't mm-hmm. lift it up to flush mm-hmm. the porta potty.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, I'll come out. Well, the interesting thing was when I went back home after our trip and started listening to the audio recording,
right.
Both times that he came out of the tent, the adolescent Sasquatch whispered, Ego Y8. So it's kind of sounds like a North American Indian dialect with staccato syllables. This is my first ever recorded Sasquatch vocal, and it really blew my mind. You know, they have a spoken language. So
fascinating.
Now you can play.
Okay, let's do this first one, Eric. The Whispering Adolescent. Echo YA, is that correct?
Echo YA.
Echo YA. And what do you think he's saying? Like,
I talked with an Indian friend from the Klamath Falls tribe here in
uh-huh.
Southern Oregon,
uh-huh.
and she said in their language that is a word for like urination.
Oh, I see. Interesting. So he's going, interesting. Fascinating. In the past, Native Americans traded with them, didn't they? And they had a... They treated them with respect, like they were. They treated them as people.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating, fascinating, fascinating. You have another one. The next one is a whispering juvenile. Could you tell us a little bit about the background of that before we play it?
This is just a recording. Again, I recorded all night, 8, 10, 12 hours, and this is just a real nugget that I caught. This is a juvenile female. We nicknamed her Chatty Cathy because she's very vocal. And we just happened to capture her kind of whispering or talking on the perimeter of camp while we were sleeping.
Chatty Cathy. Okay, let's play Chatty Cathy. Dr. Johnson, could you please enlighten all of us as to what do you think she's saying?
I have no clue.
All right.
I have absolutely no clue.
All right.
But that's pretty cool, and that certainly wasn't a squirrel, a deer, a bear, or a cougar.
No, 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 no. It's definitely something there.
Yeah.
The third one is a female juvenile. Could you tell us a little bit about the background of that that audio recording?
Sure. Johnny Manson, who's a DJ out on the coast in Aberdeen, Washington.
I know Johnny. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good man.
So he hosts the Sasquatch Symposium out on the Washington coast.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And I spoke at his conference, and then he came down to my research area shortly thereafter in December of 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So we were up at my area in Southern Oregon, and it was obviously winter. It was December 30th, and it was 22 degrees outside.
Wow.
We woke up with ice and frost all over our bags and our faces and stuff. And anyway, that night we managed to record Chatty Cathy standing at the foot of Johnny's cot.
Oh, really?
And she woke him up because she was talking, and she says in a young girl's voice, "Nyptia." You'll hear us breathing heavy as we're sleeping.
Nyptia. So. Interesting.
Nyptia. Yep. Nyptia. Go ahead and play.
Okay. Go ahead, Eric. Yeah. That's fascinating. Do you think she's saying to wake up?
Well, I told Johnny that I think Nyptia means look at that ugly bald-headed guy sleeping in the cot.
Well, that's one way to interpret it. That's funny.
The bottom line is I have no clue what she's saying at all.
Uh-huh,
but
uh-huh.
It's pretty cool that we got it and she was there.
Uh-huh.
And the funny thing is that you know, people will say, well, that was a little girl who was up there. And it's like, wait a sec.
Yeah.
We're up there miles and miles up in the mountains. It's 2 a.m. in the morning.
Right.
It is 22 degrees outside. You tell me what little girl is up there standing at the foot of the cot saying, Nyptia.
Sure.
Give me a break.
That's funny. That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, you're speaking to the choir here, my friend.
Yeah.
And so there's, we do believe in what you're saying. Now, your next one, number four, is Matt, while the suburban car is idling. Tell me a little bit about that. You were in your car idling when you did this recording?
Yeah, so this is later on. You know, around 2 a.m., we had Chatty Cathy saying Nyptia, right? And then Johnny and I woke up and checked on the gifting bowls, and again, it was like 22 degrees outside. All the trees were covered with white frost and icicles. And
wow.
We got back to the base camp, and we were just freezing, and our hands were, like, totally frozen solid. And we decided to get inside the Suburban, start up the engine so we could warm up.
Right.
And so I was still recording with the parabolic microphone dish.
Mm-hmm.
And we got inside the car, shut the doors, started the engine.
Mm-hmm.
And so later on, when I was listening to the audio recording, I was surprised to hear that when we got in the car and shut the doors and started up, that the adolescent male, Seska, was whispering my name louder and louder. It was almost like, dude, don't leave. Where are you going? So,
really? Interesting.
Calls my name out three times. Matt.
Maybe he wanted to have a cup of coffee with you or maybe have
some
breakfast.
Or maybe he wanted to warm up in the car.
Well, that could have been it, too. Could have been it, too. Well, Eric, let's go ahead and play that the fourth one now.
Laugh.
I can hear the mat. And you know what's interesting, too, is that it's like it's coming from another dimension, the recording.
Well, I can assure you that they're there. Mm-hmm. It could be that vibrational frequency thing again.
Sure.
Which may be distorting the sound.
Right.
I often, when I get them, it sounds like they're whispering more often than not.
Mm-hmm.
But this last recording that you're about to play was recorded in June of 2014.
Okay.
We had just gone out and checked the gifting bowls, brought them back to camp. The table is at the 12 o'clock position on the perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we put the gifting bowls. But we also had a box of cinnamon rolls there.
Oh,
and
wow.
there were three of us.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we went back to bed because it was like, mm-hmm. we don't have to get up yet. So we crawled back in our sleeping bags and went back to sleep.
Right.
With the game plan, I might add, to eat those cinnamon rolls when we woke up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we woke up later, went over to the table to get our cinnamon rolls, and they were gone.
Oh, my God. You're kidding. Wow. No. That's amazing.
They love the cinnamon rolls. So anyway, I went back and listened to my recording mm-hmm. Later on. Mm-hmm. And I believe we caught two or three of them at the table, you know, getting their cinnamon rolls and talking. And the parabolic microphone dish happened to be on the table right there. So it's pretty clear you hear them talking. If your audience hasn't figured it out yet, I loop everything three times just to make sure that they have an opportunity to hear it enough to be able to get it.
Oh, that's good. I guess my only question is whether they like their cinnamon rolls hot or cold or with or without butter or tell.
Well, I can answer other questions, but they like these cinnamon rolls cold.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Do you know of a brand name so that if people are out in the woods, they can get them for them and leave them?
Cinnabon.
Cinnabon. Okay. Okay. Well, that's first here from the program. That Sasquatch like Cinnabon cinnamon rolls, they could tell that to the company. Maybe it could be good marketing. They could sell it, actually, to them.
There we go.
Yep. Okay, well, let's play this clip of Sasquatch eating Cinnabon cinnamon rolls. Now, Dr. Johnson?
Yes.
When you heard that sound, whoa, is that the Sasquatch equivalent of something like, that tastes good?
Well, the de Weilu, I think, means score. We got the cinnamon rolls.
Great. Have you contacted?
He was pretty happy. He sounded pretty happy there.
Wow, that's amazing. Have you contacted the cinnamon company about this would be a great marketing technique you could maybe
see. No, I haven't. I have not contacted them.
I could just see
I'm
the
sure
commercials.
They'd be interested.
I'm sure I can see the commercials now.
Yeah.
We've got about Dr. Johnson, this is just fascinating. We've got about 20 minutes left, and I'd love any other messages that you can to share from the Sasquatch. I know they're probably concerned. Are they concerned about the planet like many of us light workers are?
They're definitely concerned. They've been here a lot longer than we have.
Mm-hmm.
If we do anything stupid, they'll be here a lot longer after us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're more concerned about our well-being and our future than they are their own.
I see. Wow.
You know, early on in the mantra for a lot of people that are looking for Bigfoot is they want to prove their existence so they can get them on the endangered species list and, you know, lock up land to protect their habitat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In reality, they're taking care of themselves really, really well. They don't mm-hmm. need our protection,
mm-hmm.
and they'd be fine with or without us.
Mm-hmm.
But because they are benevolent, caring, kind beings,
mm-hmm.
they would like us to do better as a species,
mm-hmm.
And to be better caretakers of our world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, again, they're trying to influence if I could have a teacher, can you please give me a teacher? I want a teacher. Mm-hmm. And I had Andrea Billups up at my research area in October of last year. Mm-hmm. And at that time, she saw an 8-foot and a 9-foot squatch right in front of us, about mm-hmm. 8 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in our cots that night. There was a 50% chance of rain, so we had our cots close together and the tarp halfway up in case we needed to pull it over us if it started raining.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sleeping on my back, and I had just woken up, and I always sleep with a T-shirt over my eyes. It's kind of a quirky thing I have, but mm-hmm. that's just what helps me sleep. So sure. I'm laying there,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden I feel the tarp get tugged once up to my shoulders, tugged again over my head, tugged all the way to the ground. And I go, Andrea, did you just pull the tarp over us? No answer. Andrea, did you just pull the tarp over us? No answer.
Mm-hmm.
I reach over and feel her her cot. She's not there. Mm-hmm. I pull the tarp back over my head, look at the porta-potty toilet behind us, see if she's on that. She's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm seeing myself talking with the Josephine County Sheriff's Department going, I did not bury a body anywhere, I swear.
Okay.
And
yeah.
And so then I'm going, Andrea, and she finally answers from the bottom of her sleeping bag. She's a little gal. And yes, Matt, I said, did you pull the tarp over us? And she goes, no, you just woke me up. And I thought, okay, that's interesting.
Sure.
So, you know, the next morning I take her back to her hotel by the airport because she's going to fly to Florida where she teaches journalism. And, and I spend my last night up there, and the next morning after I'm up there, I get this real strong mind speak.
Mm-hmm.
You are our teacher. That's why we bring our kids to you, so you can teach them about
being How wonderful.
And they assigned me a guardian or a sentry as a result of having that role as
uh-huh.
a teacher.
Uh-huh.
So then the following month, I'm up there with another friend of mine, Mike Kincaid, and mm-hmm. he gets a healing, and I've experienced a couple different healings as well while mm-hmm. I've been up there.
Mm-hmm.
And the last night I'm laying on my cot facing the truck. I'm 5 feet away from the truck. The parabolic microphone dish is on top of the truck recording.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear my sentry kind of shifting the weight on his feet by the head of my cot where he stands every night
mm-hmm.
and breathing. And so in my mind I ask, are you still there?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm expecting him to respond back telepathically, you know, something like, yes, I'm here.
Uh-huh.
But instead, he walks between me, my cot, and the truck.
Mm-hmm.
He leans over, and again, I'm laying on my left side, so mm-hmm. he leans over and whispers in my right ear, well, a loud whisper, yes, right here beside you.
Mm. Wow.
And then he walks back to the head of my cot, and I'm like, what? And I pull the T-shirt mm-hmm. off over my eyes, and he's, you know, cloaked. I can't see him.
Right.
I look at my watch. It says 4:05 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I do the math because I knew I started recording at 8 p.m. straight up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 8 hours and 5 minutes. I go home. I fast forward the audio 8 hours and 5 minutes, and guess what I caught?
Wow, what?
Yes, right here beside you.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. That is just amazing. What an interesting story. Thank you so much for sharing that.
And he's pretty much been with me ever since.
Aww.
Including most nights in my bedroom.
Is he there with you now? Don't mind me asking.
No, he's not. Okay. He doesn't I'm in my private practice office right now.
Oh, okay.
In mm-hmm. Medford, and mm-hmm. he doesn't usually hang out in my office, but mm-hmm. at night he'll come hang out in my bedroom.
Well, please say hello to him for all of my listeners and myself. We'd like to give him, send him lots of love and light, and thank him so much for being your guardian.
I will. Thank you.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I was going to ask you too. Now, they're found throughout the world. Is that right? In every continent.
They're on every continent with the exception of Antarctica.
Okay. Wow. Amazing. 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 How can I describe those that rock marker before where they come up to like a pyramid shape? Are there other physical markers that they do give so people can tell that they're around?
you have to pay attention to the environment when you're out hiking, especially if you're going to go out and then come back.
Right.
Because you may walk out on a trail and you need to pay attention of what was on the trail, what wasn't on the trail, because when you come back, that's when they'll leave little, you know, gifts for you or markers for you. For example, years ago, when we went out for a hike and nothing was on the trail, we came back and there were like 20 pine cones in a straight line ending with a geometric figure made of rocks and sticks and pine cones.
Oh, fascinating.
That clearly was not on that path when we went out, but it was on the way back. They'll use branches and sticks. They'll weave what appears to be like dream catchers and put them in certain places. Mm-hmm. They'll make teepee-like structures. They'll move huge trees around and manipulate them where there's no way any human beings could move those things.
Wow.
So you just have to keep your eye open and actually look for these things. And most people will walk right by it and not pay attention.
Fascinating. That's just amazing. Now you mentioned gift bowls before. If people are out in the woods and they want to leave treats for them, do you like take a bowl of something and then put food in it for them and then leave it in the forest?
What our habit was during the habituation period, keep in mind, there's three phases so far. Our first 10 years was old school, which I described already. Then there was 6 years of habituation, and now it's just interaction. But I'll back up to habituation. During that time, every night as the sun was setting, we would take two large stainless steel dog food bowls that I would wash while wearing surgical gloves to make sure we didn't leave any fingerprints on the bowls. We'd put food out there about 150 feet away from the base camp so they could grab the food without worrying about us seeing them or, you know, coming across them. And then we would go retrieve the bowls in the morning just as the sun was beginning to rise. Put them out at dusk, retrieve them at dawn. And we would find fingerprints on the bowls, handprints on the bowls.
Really? Fascinating.
Yeah, we had a fingerprint expert for the Washington State Patrol look at them, and he said they definitely were not human, and they definitely were not from any primate from, you know, the Seattle Zoo. Also, having done that for a long time with gifting bowls, the family group that I was working with would not take fruit, would not take vegetables, would not take meat of any kind, cooked or uncooked. The only thing that they would take, and it took me a long time to figure it out, silly me, was bread products.
Really? Interesting.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. They would take the creamy peanut butter, not the crunchy peanut butter. They'd take it on wheat bread, not white bread. They'd take raspberry jam, but not strawberry, grape, apricot, or any other kind of jam. They'd take cheese bread sticks, bagels, donuts. They'd take some pizza, but they would be picky and pick the mushrooms and the olives off the top and put them in the corner of the box.
How funny. That's money.
We would always leave a dozen eggs out there with the top off as a control variable. Because people would always be going, those are little critters out there taking your food. Well, no. If it was little critters, they'd hit everything and not just the bread products.
Sure.
And they would most certainly take the eggs. And the eggs were never touched with the exception of one time.
Wow.
They took two eggs and cracked them in half like you would if you were frying an egg in the pan on the stove. And they consumed the yolk, and then they put the shell inside the other shell and put that back in the egg carton.
Oh, that's incredible. That's amazing.
And no little critter would do that.
Dr. Johnson, are they omnivores or mostly vegetarian with breads? What do they eat meat? I guess not.
They eat birds, and they eat fish.
Oh, okay.
Now, for the longest time, I would believe that they would eat, you know, elk and deer and other things.
Mm-hmm.
But Zorth, the head clan leader, made it very clear to me recently that they don't mm-hmm. eat mammals. And there's more to it, but the rest I have to wait until next spring to share.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. That's fascinating. One of the things, when I had Billy Fay Woodard from the Hollow Earth on my show a couple months ago and also at my conference, he said not to eat anything that has eyes or has a mother. And I thought that was fascinating. And because when, for example, a cow or a chicken is killed, often they're killed in terror. And when you eat, for example, a steak that's in from a cow, Dr. Johnson, that's been shot or killed in a brutal manner, when you eat that meat, you're ingesting those negative emotions into your body, so you become depressed or agitated. And it was very interesting, but you can certainly share the reasons next spring when you're allowed to do so. But I know that's an interesting, something very interesting that my friend from the Hollow Earth told me about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess since we're running out of time, one of the other things I'd like to share is about a healing I experienced, which is pretty awesome.
Sure, please do.
About 4 years ago, I tore my Achilles tendon. I severed it in a basketball game.
Uh-huh.
And I got it surgically reattached a couple days later. And mm-hmm. then a couple days after that, I was on the mm-hmm. plane flying to New Orleans, Las Vegas, and Los Angeles for speaking engagements. And mm-hmm. nobody told me that I wasn't supposed to go up and down in jet airplanes after surgery. So, you know, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, my leg was ballooning like an elephant.
Oh, no.
And it was doing that for like about 3 straight years.
Uh-huh.
And so finally, my physician referred me to a vascular surgeon.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the vascular surgeon had her gal, you know, lube up my leg and was doing a sonogram. And she was in there going, "Oh, my God." And what? "Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be... Oh, my God! What's going on? I'm sorry, let's look at the other leg. Okay, that's fine.
Uh-huh.
Let's look back over here. Oh, my God!" And she stopped, and she went out in the hallway to talk with the doc, and you could hear him out there, but you couldn't tell what they're saying, and he walks in, and he sits uh-huh. down, and he says, "Let me start off by telling you just how lucky you are. You should be dead."
Really?
Like, what? He said, "You should be dead. You had what I would diagnose as a very big DVT, deep vein thrombosis, or blood clot that went from my groin all the way to my knee."
Oh, my gosh.
And he said, "If you walked in here with that, I'd tell you to get your effects in order because you're going to die. Because if I try to surgically remove it, you're dead. If I give you medication to dissolve it, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
If it breaks up on its own, you're mm-hmm. dead."
He said,
"You should be dead."
Mm-hmm.
"I've been here. I've been doing this for 25 years. Nobody's ever lived through that. You should be dead."
Wow.
And he said, "This is a miracle." And so I'm like, okay, well, I'm a happy camper. Well, after 45 minutes of listening to "You should be dead," I finally had to dismiss him from the appointment so I could go on with my day.
Uh-huh.
And that's the first time I've ever had to dismiss a physician from the appointment.
And no.
So a couple months later,
uh-huh.
I'm experiencing some major pain in my stomach that makes me go to the emergency room twice within a week. And mm-hmm. then mm-hmm. Cynthia and I are up in my research area, and it's really hot out, and we have the sleeping bags open, and we're covering ourselves with a sheet.
Right.
And in the middle of the night, I feel this hand mm-hmm. Going from my side of my knee back and forth with energy discharging. Does it for about 5 minutes, and then telepathically I hear him tell the other Sasquatch his leg is still fine.
The leg is still what? Like, I'm sorry, Doctor.
His leg is still okay.
Oh, good. Good.
And I'm like, wait a sec. Mm-hmm. You guys are the ones that healed it up. You know?
Wow.
Because he's saying it's still okay. Well, I never knew there was a problem, and they took care of it. And so that miracle that I had, that I should be dead, was that they detected the problem and they took care of it.
Wow.
then the hand went down to my groin and my crotch, and it wasn't sexual, but there was energy discharging. And then he said his prostate is still okay. And then it went up to my stomach, and he spent about a half hour up there. And then he said his stomach is okay now. Well, 2 days later, I went in for a colonoscopy, the snake, so they could go up there and find out what was, you know, the problem in my stomach. Because they did a CAT scan and found a little kind of golf ball-sized growth. Well, they went up, and, you know, I came to, and the doc was sitting there, and he said, it's not there. It's gone.
He said,
it's here in the CAT scan, but it's not there anymore.
Oh, that's amazing.
He said, I went up, and I looked twice, and he said, it's gone. Whatever it was, it's no longer there. So I have three medically documented cases of being healed by the forest people with my leg, with my prostate, and with my stomach.
Oh, you're so lucky. What a beautiful story. Thank you so much, Dr. Johnson, for sharing that. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. We've got about 3.5 minutes left, and before we go, I want to thank everyone for listening today. I've been interviewing a fascinating gentleman named Dr. Matthew Johnson. He will be in Yelm, Washington at the wonderful Triad Theater in downtown Yelm on Saturday, September 17th, starting at 6 p.m. There's dinner, and then his presentation's at 7 p.m. And before that, of course, that same day will be the Cosmic Awareness Fair in Olympia, Washington, off of exit 111, which is an angelic number off of I-5 at the Washington RV Center at 9101 Stillicum Road. For directions or if you need more information, just send me an email to outoftheworld1150@gmail.com. But we've got a couple minutes left. I want to give you the rest of the time, Dr. Johnson, to please wrap up your wonderful interview.
Sure. I would like to encourage your listeners to visit the website. Again, TeamSquatchinUSA.com.
Okay.
Also, if any of them are Facebook members, we have a very large Facebook group consisting of about 7,600 members with a lot of good information from all over North America. And our Facebook group is called Team Squatching USA. So all they have to do is go on to Facebook and type in Team Squatching USA and click on Join the Group.
Wonderful. How do you spell squatch, just to make sure if people have it correctly?
Okay, S-Q-U-A-T-C-H-I-N, no G.
S-Q-U-A-T-C-H-I-N. Great. Okay, USA.
The Team Squatching USA, all
wonderful.
One word.
Wonderful.
Yep.
Okay, that's just great. That's
we
just
also
great.
Host a conference every April, and so next April, from Friday the 21st, April 21st through Sunday the 23rd, we will be at the Daymont Inn and Suites in Bremerton, Washington.
Wonderful.
And we'll have lots of speakers there, including Bob Gimlin.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Well, we'll have to have you back on again to talk about your wonderful conference, Dr. Johnson, and to make sure everyone knows about it so they can participate and plan for it.
That would be great.
Wonderful. You know, the fascinating thing to know is that there are other life out there. During our first hour, I interviewed Joe St. Clair from Oxford, England, and we had a really interesting discussion about angels. And now we're having an interesting discussion with Dr. Johnson about Sasquatch and how they exist in the other dimensions. You know, and they're here, and they're beloved, kind, loving beings. And I hope that as the planet evolves in the coming years and our vibrations raise in this planet, that they'll be more in contact, and we can help each other, actually, create a beautiful, harmonious planet. Dr. Johnson, we've kind of run into the end of our time now, but I want to thank you so much for coming on today. This has been a fascinating interview, and I want to thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
My pleasure. And next week, I'll be playing a pre-recorded interview I had with Matthias DiStefano. He's an indigo child who recalls memories of living in Atlantis. He's a fascinating fellow. I interviewed him recently in the Dominican Republic, and I'll be playing his interview as a pre-record, and I think you'll find him just truly fascinating. I hope everyone has a wonderful, happy weekend. Again, thank you so much for listening and supporting Out of This World Radio. Bye-bye, everyone.